Begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Chav Zayin. Begin the second parak in Masechet Chulin parak HaShechit, which continues on the theme of the first parak regarding the laws of slaughtering of chulin of unconsecrated animals. Says the Mishnah HaShechit, someone that slaughters, which the Gemara is going to ask on this opening word, because one of the cases it's going to talk about is that by an animal, one has to slaughter both pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. And why would it say in a dievet, an after-the-fact terminology, okay, after the fact, two pipes by animal is going to work. Well, you can't cut anymore. We're not cutting anything more than the two pipes. Why is it saying it in the after the fact terminology? But that's how the Mishnah opens up. HaShechet, if someone that slaughters echad bi'ayif, slaughters only one pipe by a bird, which Gemara is going to explain the reasoning why by a bird it's insufficient by just for slaughtering, cutting just one of the two pipes. Or b'shnayim b'behema, or both pipes by an animal, shchitasik share, that is a valid slaughtering to make the animal kosher. Now, moreover, v'rubi shalachad, the majority of one pipe, of every pipe, is kamayu, is the same thing. If one cuts the majority of a pipe or of both pipes, he has fulfilled his obligation. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, however, at sheyishchit esav v'riden, that is, by a bird, he has to slaughter the v'riden, which are these veins by the neck, which has a lot of blood over there. The Gemara later on the next daf explains that it's going on the bird because we have to let out all the blood, and therefore one has to cut the breed in two, whether it be jugular veins, there's different interpretations which veins they are, but it's to get out all the blood of the animal. So that's an additional requirement when one is slaughtering the bird. Now, however, says the Mishnah, chatzi echad b'yayif, let's say only cuts half of one pipe by a bird, or the echad b'chatzi b'behema, or one and a half pipes by an animal, shchitas b'sula, that's invalid because it didn't cut at least a majority of the pipe or of both pipes. Now, continues the Mishnah, reivech b'ayif, if it cuts a majority of one pipe by a bird, v'reiv shnayim b'behema, and the majority of both pipes by an animal, oh, then shchitas k'sher, then the slaughtering is valid, which the Gemara on Daf Chav Tes is going to ask, that was already said in the Reish. We already said, b'rubi shalachar is kamayu, why it seems to be redundant here at the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to, hasheichet, someone that slaughters? So obviously that's telling us, dievet in, though after the fact, that's okay. So our question is, well, like etchil loy, but initially not? Well, it's not enough with what we're saying? That means to say, what, shnayim bebehema like etchil loy? Slaughtering the two pipes by an animal is not enough? Ad kama lishchut v'lezel, how much more are you going to slaughter? There's nothing more. We're not cutting the backbone. There's nothing more to cut. So why is it saying in the dievet terminology? Says the Gemara, Ibay same, if you want, you could say, you're right, it's a echad ba'if. It's not going on the case of Shnai B'behema. It's going on the case of someone, the word hasheichet, after the fact, is going on the one who slaughters the one out of the two pipes by a bird. Because actually, initially, the rabbi is actually required to go ahead and cut both pipes by a bird to distance one from sin, because he might not do the majority of one. But if required two, then he's going to very likely go through that whole pipe and as he's going to the other pipe. And therefore, when we said Hashaychet b'diavad, it was going on Echad b'ayif, because initially, rabbinically, we actually require both pipes. Or if you want, you could say, it's going on the next sentence after that, Arubi shel Echad kamayu, when it said that the majority of the pipe, or the two pipes of the animal, but the majority of the pipe is like it, that was because of the din of Rai, but that's only b'diavad, because initially we'd actually want the person to cut the entirety of the pipe. Now the Gemara continues, Kamash Simon, which is mnemonic for the names of the Amayram, they will bring a source for the following halacha. Amar Rav Kahana, minayin l'shchita shehim in atzava. Where do we know this halacha of slaughtering that is done from the neck, known as the gurin, of the animal? So, and that says Rav Kahana shenema, like it says the pasuk of a yikr. It says, by kadshim, it says, v'shachat has ben abakar, that he slaughters the bull. The word v'shachat is, and as all the other interpretations, is an acronym, mimakim sheshach, from the place where the animal bends down, that's where chateyu, that's where you're going to clean up the animal, you're going to prepare to be eaten and purify it. So the word shachat is shin ches, is shach, is bending down, and the ches and the tes is chateyu. So either it means purifying it, meaning by permitting it to be eaten, or another interpretation, chateyu, purifying, means to say that because by taking all the blood, that's how you clean it out. So again, according to one interpretation, it would mean terminology of cleaning it out from the blood. Another one would mean cleaning it out, meaning permitting it to be eaten. Now, and that is the Gemara. Mimai dahai chateyu lishna didichuyehu. From where do you know that this term that you're saying is the second half of the word shachad of chiteyu, that it means a terminology of purifying, of cleaning out? The chilek says the pasuk in the Yukrit says v'chite asabayis, which that's by the purification process of a house, that it says the terminology v'chite. So you see it means purifying. Or if you want, you can say Mahacha Pasik in Tehillim that says Techateini be'ezer betar, cleanse me with the ezer, which is the hyssop, and I'll be pure. So you see that it's a terminology of cleansing. On that is the Gemara. Okay, fine. So that's what b'shachat means. Shach chiteyu, where it bends. That's where you cleanse it. That's where you purify it. I mean, that's where the blood comes out, or that's where you permit it to be eaten. But that is the Gemara. But imim is nafli. How do you know it means from the neck? Maybe it means from the throat. Maybe it means from the tail, which is always bent, and that's also shach. Says the Gemara, no. When it says shachat, which we're reading shach chiteyu, shach means that it's bending and not that it's bent. Machlal shazakov bein, and that tells us that, but it has to be upright. Meaning when it's walking, it's upright. And just, but it does bend. Baha shach v'aymerhu. But here the tail is always bent, and but that cannot be what we're referring to when we're saying shach chiteyu. So that's Gemara fine. It's not the tail, but the imam aznai. Maybe slaughtering is done from the ear of the animal, which the animal could bend when it wants to. So maybe that's shach chiteyu. Says Gemara, no, it can't be from the ear because be'inan dama nefesh v'laka. We need that there should be the lifeblood of the animal when we're slaughtering, and that's not the case because the pasuk we brought from b'shachat is actually talking about b'kadshim. By carbon, the halacha is the blood that we need to get when you're slaughtering is the what's called the dama nefesh, the lifeblood. That's what you have to throw on the mizbeach. Like the pasuk says, damei b'nafshu, who the blood is in his soul, and that's what you're supposed to put on the mizbeach. The blood that comes out, its lifeblood, is what the atonement is. And v'laka. And you don't have that when you're cutting from the ear because that's other types of blood. It's not the main lifeblood of the animal, which only comes out when the neck is pouring out the blood. That's the dama nefesh. Says the Gemara, okay, but the aim of the karva asl adama nefesh, fine. Why don't we just cut off the ear and that's slaughtering? Maybe you start by the ear and you go until you get the real lifeblood come spurting out. So maybe you do cut from the ear, which is also shach chiteyu. It's also something that bends and you could clean it out from the ear. V'su, moreover, the question is that shehiya, derasa, chalad, the hagram, the ikur, all those psulim of shechita, which is delaying, which is just chopping, which is borrowing, and which is going out of the area and pulling out the pipes, minalon. Where do we know those halachas that they are invalidating by shechita? Ella rather says the Gemara, obviously Gemara, that's halacha Moshe Messina, that's a tradition that we have. So therefore, shechita me'atzav enami Gemara, so therefore slaughtering from the neck is also a tradition. Oh, that says the Gemara, so b'krolamayas. So then what is the pasuk coming to teach us? If you're telling me that all the halachas of shechita, halacha Moshe Messina, that's an oral tradition we have from Moshe Benu, then what do we learn out from this pasuk of Ashachar as Ben Abakar? Says the Gemara, that's that you shouldn't cut the animal in half. Meaning, when you're slaughtering by the neck, don't chop off the whole head that you're going to take off even the spine with the neck bone. Because that's what we're reading from B'shachat is shach, where it bends, chiteyu, clean it out, meaning just remove the blood and nothing more. Or according to the other interpretation, it means prepare it to be eaten, which is just cutting the simanim and nothing more. And that's what we learn from there. But the actual halacha that is done from the neck, that we know from halacha Moshe Messinai. Or another interpretation, when the Gemara is answering, deloy l'shavi gistra, not to chop it in half, it means to say, don't do this psul of yidres, of chopping. Because although that's one of the things you just mentioned, the Gemara, that's halacha Moshe Messinai, but there are some of them that are still written in the Torah like hadrasa. The Gemara says later on that we know drasa from a pasuk of v'shachat, because v'shachat means a terminology of going and coming, and not just chopping. And therefore, although we said it's halacha Moshe Messinai, that's actually going on the other ones, but not on hadrasa. Now, although we're saying gistra, how is that the same thing as hadrasa? That's actually as we'll learn in the Mishnah later on. That says if someone was slaughtering and he just chopped the head off in one shot, that's considered hadrasa. So you see the drasa is something that when the head just comes chopping off in one shot, that's really what gistra is. Because if someone's doing a regular slaughtering, going forward and backwards, he doesn't just chop. He could pull his hand back at any point. But someone that does hadrasa is just chopping, like someone that's just chopping a stick or chopping a gourd, a type of vegetable, where he just does it with one big chop. That's what gistra is. It just gets cut into half, and therefore that's the second interpretation of what it means. Loyla shabi gistra, don't do hadrasa. Or it means again that you don't have to cut, or you're not supposed to cut the whole neck bone. Just cut the two pipes. On that, the Gemara brings another source. Rav Yehimar Ami says, "Oh, the source for the halacha of how do you know slaughtering is from the neck, again from the throat in the front, is Amakra. The pasuk says in Devarim, vizalachta, that you should slaughter. Now, what does that mean?" Here also, it's an acronym, Mimokim Shizav, from the place where the blood flows, Chateyu, that's where you break it. In other words, that's where you're going to cut it. Because that's the word Zavachta. Zav, Chas. Says the Gemara, my mashman hai chiteyu, where do you see that the word chiteyu is lishna de mitfahu, is a terminology of breaking, that you're meaning that's where you cut the animal, that's where you break it, and that's where you slaughter it. Says the Gemara, because the chesivik, it says the pasuk in the Devarim, it says, atir avatechas, don't be afraid, don't break. So you see that this word chas means to break, and that's the bezavachta, where it's zav, where the blood flows from, that's where you're going to go ahead and cut. Now, that says the Gemara, but ve'imim echaitmai. Maybe you should slaughter from the nose of the animal, because that's a place where the mucus is always flowing from, and it doesn't say in the pasuk anything about blood, it just says where it flows, that's where you cut. We know the neck is where a lot of blood flows, but who says about blood? Maybe it's about the mucus. Says the Gemara, no. Zavai dechitu b'inan. The word zavacht is saying that it's flowing because of the chop that you made. V'hai zav me'elavu. Here the flowing of the mucus is by itself, so that wouldn't be b'zavachta. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. So it's not from the nose, but ve'imim alibay. Maybe say that it's from the heart. Meaning, maybe the way shechita is supposed to be, you're supposed to take a knife and just stab it in the heart, where it's going to flow a lot of blood. And that's where shechita is from. How do you know it's from the neck? There's a lot of blood there, but there's a lot of blood by the heart. Vesu, moreover, as we asked the question on the previous interpretation, shehiya derasa chalada grama ve'ikra menal, how do you know all those other invalidations of shechita that they apply? El Gemara, obviously, it's a tradition that we have. So if so, shechita menatzav and amik Gemara answers the question too. How do you know slaughtering is from the throat? That's halacha ma'ishu b'sinai too. Oh, so then b'krala ma'yasa. So what does this pasuk bezvachta come to teach? Again, it comes to teach the lola shavi gistra that you should not just chop it in half. Again, that either means that or you shouldn't do hadrasa, where because that's what it means from the pasuk that do chas, which means to chop, only until you have zav, until it flows, and not more than that. But hadrasa, where the person can't hold his hand back, that's going to be doing more. That shouldn't be done. Or according to the other interpretation, it's that a person should cut it until it flows. And again, not more than that, because it's only what to prepare the animal, not more. And although we have the other pasuk, b'shachat, that's teaching us the leila shabi gistra, so each one's learning from a different pasuk, just like the initial attempt was to find the halach of the from the throat, from a different source. So ultimately, yeah, it's halach meshmi sinai, but he's learning out from a different pasuk, the same idea that leila shabi gistra, not just to chop the animal in half. The Gemara brings a third source. The Beir Bishmol Tana, was taught in the Brayso Shiva Bishmol, that the source is, it says, v'shachat. Now, Al tikka v'shachat. It says, don't read a v'shachat, ela v'sachat, because a shin can be read as a sin, which is written like a samach. What does v'sachat come to say? Mimokum shesach, from the place where the animal talks, meaning where the voice comes out from, the voice box, the larynx, which is by the neck, that's where chiteyu, that's where you're going to go ahead and clean out the animal. That's the Gemara, but ve'imim l'shaynei. Maybe that means, maybe slaughtering should be done from the tongue, because the tongue also assists in the voice coming out, as the Gemara in Bukhari Staf Mem Malav says, when it talks about the blemishes in the animal, the Mishnah says over there, if the majority of the medaber b'lashaynai, if the majority of the speaking part of the tongue is taken off, that's a blemish. But you see one thing, that the tongue is also involved in speaking. So maybe mokum shesach is actually, you do shechita from the tongue and not from the neck. So it's Gemara, no, it can't be just cutting the tongue, because be in the dama nefesh of leka. That pasuk in b'shachar is by kachim, you need the lifeblood, and you're not getting that if you just cut off the tongue. Says the Gemara, okay, maybe it doesn't mean just cutting up the tongue. The aim of the kar, v'azl adam nefesh. Maybe you start the cutting, you cut into the tongue, but you continue going into the animal until you get the lifeblood. So we said it's from the neck. V'su, moreover, as in the previous interpretations, shehiya derasa chalada hagrama ve'ikur menalan. How do you know these other invalidations of pausing and of just chopping and of burrowing and of going out of the area and hearing out the pipes? How do you know that those are invalidations? How do you know those halachas of shechita? And the Gemara, rather, it's a tradition. So shechita menatzav and amik Gemara, this other halacha that the slaughtering from the throat is also a tradition. Oh, then v'kra l'may asas. Then what's this pasuk that we're bringing of b'shachat coming to teach us? It's the lola shavi gistra again. Is that one should not cut it into half? It's just that's all you do, and you don't do more than that. So the Gemara brings now a fourth source. B'tana maisi l'mahacha. That is the Amiram up until now attempted to bring psukim. But then the conclusion ultimately was that we know it from a Gemara, from a tradition. But then there's a Brisa in Teres Kainim that brings it from a different source. The time like learning a Brisa. Chia Amar, he says, Minayin l'shchita menatzav. He says, where do we know that slaughtering is from the neck? It's from the throat. Shtema, he says, like it says in the pasuk in Be'yikra. It says, V'orchu b'nei, and it's inferred from this parasha. It says, V'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-kahanim es nesachim. That the sons of Aaron the kahanim, they prepared the cut up pieces of the animal. Meaning after it's slaughtered and after then it's cut up, so then they're put onto the mizbech and they're burnt on the mizbech. So they're in pieces. So the sons of Aaron would organize the pieces. Now, she'in tam aleimen, there's nothing really teaching us when the pasuk continues and it says esareish v'esapadu, including the head and the fats. Ma tam aleim esareish v'esapadu. What's it teaching us when it says the head and the fats? V'hali reishu padu b'chlal kol nesachem hayu. Yeah, they're part of the pieces. We cut the legs, we cut the forelegs, we cut all the parts of the animal. So the thighs. So what are we teaching that the head and the fats? Lama yatsu, why would they explicitly taken out to be mentioned separately? Says the Braisa Lafishnam, because the Pasuk says, Vehifshit esa eila benitach. The eila is supposed to be skinned and then cut into pieces. Now, Ainli, so I would only know what's called nisachim, what are called the pieces, which is what the Pasuk calls it when it's talking about Arhu, that when they organize it, it's organizing the nisachim. I would only know Ela nisachim, Shiesh Nemechlah Havshata, only the cut up pieces of the animal that's included in the halacha being skinned, because that's what it says, Vehifshit venitach, it's skinned and then it's cut up. Now, therefore, when it's told by the aricha, by the organizing that it says by nesachim, I would only know the cut up pieces that are skinned. Minayin l'rabbis, from where do I know to include in this halacha of aricha of organizing the pieces that they're all to be burnt together, that it even includes es harayish, the head which is not skinned. And the reason is because shekvar hutas, because it was already cut off by the slaughtering, and this is the proof, before it's skinned. Now, the reason why we're calling it that it was chopped off is because, although you don't actually cut off the whole head, but once you cut the two pipes, that's already considered hutas, already like chopped off, because all the lifeblood is dependent on those two pipes. So it's like it's just in a box. And moreover, therefore, there's no more skinning of the head. Rather, it's only sacrificed as is, as the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim, where it says, V'hikr v'koyin es hakol, the koyin sacrifices everything. That comes to include what's everything. Even the wool on the head of the lambs and the hair on the beards of the he-goats and the bones and the sinews and the horns and the hooves. Because it says, V'hiktar koyin es hakol em es becha. So you see that because all this hair on the animal's head, we don't skin it, we leave that on over there. Now, the reason why it's not skinned is because it was already separated from the animal before we go ahead and we start chopping up the animal, which that's where it talks about the halacha of skinning it. So therefore, since it's not part of the halacha of skinning, you would think, okay, that's not considered the nesachim to do the haracha, to do the organizing of it. Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches later on, a few psukim later, es reishiv es pidrei v'arach, its head and its fats, that you should organize it, which Gemara shortly is going to ask. It should have said, tamalayma es reishiv es hapadah from this Pasuk, which that's what we're talking about that those words are superfluous. Why bring a pasuk a few psukim later to answer this point? But the Gemara will address that. But one thing we see is that the halacha of aracha of organizing is even on Reisha and Pedra. But says Reb Chiya, midukah amar esarayish, from the fact that the pasuk had to say esarayish, we had to include that in the halacha of organizing. And we said, why? Because you wouldn't have known that it's included, because it's not skinned. Why isn't it skinned? Shekvar hutas, because already it was chopped off before we started doing the rest of the animal. Machlal, the shechitim, and that's obvious. The inference obviously is that obviously slaughtering is from the throat, because if not, how is it already chopped off before you did everything? Because obviously the first thing you do is you slaughter the animal, which is from its neck, and that's why the head is separated from the rest of the animal. Now the Gemara asked the question that we just alluded to before, Vitana, the Tana Braisa, Pasach Bereshu Padr, he opens up with this pasuk itself, when he's talking about Va'orchu ben Aaron, the Kayanimus and the Sachim, that he says that this pasuk, the words Reish and Pedr, are seemingly unnecessary. And the Messiah Bereshu Pidr, but he concludes with a pasuk a few psukim later, its head and its fats. Why does he open up with the superfluosity of Reish and Padr, and then he ends with Reish and Pidr? He should have said, Tamalema, es Reish ves Pedr. Why does he say es Reish ves Pidr Va'orch? Why does he bring down that pasuk? Says Gemara, you're right. The way to read the Brice is as follows. Hachikam. It's saying as follows. Minayin l'rabbis es reish shekvah hutas. How do you know to include even the head as one of the nesachim that was already cut off and it's not included the halacha of skinning? Tamalayim, that's right. That's the pasuk itself. The first pasuk we mentioned is reish v'sapad, the head and the fats. Then it continues to another idea. V'reishu pidr lamali. What do we need the pasuk a few psukim later? So I say its head and its fats. That's Mibayla Likitanya. That's like what we need. That Bryce itself continues and concludes. The Bryce says, Minayin l'reishu pedr shekoyim l'chal ha'nesachim. How do you know? Yeah, we already included that they're part of the pieces that are burned on the Mizbeach. But how do you know that actually the head and the fats come before all the other pieces of the animal? Tamalaymes Roshav is Pidrava Arach. That's what teaching the Pasik, its head and its fats, and you should organize. You see, coming right in the beginning of the organization is actually the head and the fats. Now, continue to Amad Bey, so the Gemara asks, fine. But Upadr Kama the Kasir Rahman Alamali, that first Pasik that it mentions, the fat, why does it mention it? In other words, we explained why the head is mentioned separately, because we had to include it. Because it was already chopped off before it's being skinned, and you would have thought that the organizing of the nesachim of the pieces are only those which are skinned. But what does the fats have to do? Why do we need to separately include that? The second time it mentions Pidre is to say that it's coming with the head before all the other pieces. But what's the necessity of mentioning it in that first pasuk? Says, you know, it's necessary, like we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ketzer Waisa, how was this done? What you actually did, they would take the fats and cover it over the area of where the animal's head was slaughtered, and that's how they would bring it up to the top of Mizbeach. And that's a dignified way how to bring it up to Hashem, because when you're sacrificing the head, you cover the fats over where the cut is, because it's all dirty with all the blood over there. That's why it's mentioned there in that first pasuk, because we're including the head, but not only that, the head with the fats, to say that the fats are covering over the head when you bring it up. That was again a fourth source, and how do we know that the slaughtering is from the throat? Now the Gemara brings a fifth source. And then we have a tana of this brisa that also brings a different source. How do you know that slaughtering is from the throat of the animal? The tana, we learn the brisa. Says the pasuk in Vayikra, Zayis Tayis Abahim Avayif. This is the law of the animal and the bird, which the psukim before that we're talking about, the tumma of nevelis. When we have a dead animal that it transmits tumma. So this is what it's saying, and this is the law of the animal and the bird. Now the question is, in what halacha are we comparing an animal to a bird, and a bird to an animal? And that is because, if we're continuing the theme that we're talking about before of tumma, behema mitama b'maga b'masa, a dead animal transmits tumma by touch or by carrying. A bird does not have that halacha of transmitting tumma by touch and by carrying, because the pasuk says by the bird, latama va, to be tumma with it, which is you only tumma ba with what it says over there, which is lo yoichel tumma ba. Don't eat it to be tumma in it, which it only becomes tumma the person when the bird that's dead is in his throat, not by touching and carrying. And moreover, the flip side also, a bird makes even the garments that a person is wearing tumma. But it's only when the bird that was not properly slaughtered is in his throat. Behema, and an animal doesn't have that halacha of transmitting tumma when it's in his throat, when let's say he didn't touch it or carry it. How is that? That would be if let's say someone pushed it down into his throat area, where a braisa elsewhere says you would think that the nevela of an animal would transmit tumma in the person's throat. That's what it says by the bird. It says lo yechel tumma, which is saying that only something that has tumma, only when you're eating it, will have this tumma, which is by a bird, which excludes an animal which has tumma before it's eaten by, let's say, touching or carrying. So then the question is, so in what area are we comparing an animal to a bird and a bird to an animal? So that says the Braisa Lomloch to tell you a different halacha. Yeah, we're talking about not slaughtering because that was mixed in the vela. So with regard to that area of halacha, we're comparing that ma behema b'shchita, just like an animal that with slaughtering removes it from being in the vela, so it is a continuity of what the previous pasuk was talking about. And the way we know that is because the pasuk says b'shacharas ben abakar, that you slaughter the young bull, which we see that there is slaughtering by an animal, af'ayf b'shchita. So that's what it's comparing to the bird, that because it doesn't say anywhere explicit in the Torah that one slaughters a bird. That's where we know it from comparing it to the animal in this pasuk, that it also has halacha of slaughtering. Now, but then you would think that just like by an animal, it needs to at least have a majority of both pipes cut. Now, the way that we know that is, like we mentioned before, because we said that we have to include the head explicitly in the pasuk to say that it's part of the organization of the pieces of the animal on the carbon on the Mizbeach, because we would have thought the animal's head that was already cut off would not be necessary. Now, if all you cut off by an animal was one siman, one pipe, that wouldn't be called hutas, as if it was already cut off, and you wouldn't have to include it. And in fact, they have to include it, we said obviously that because both pipes are already cut. So if by animal both pipes are cut, and we're learning out shchita of oy from behema, so av kamarev shnai, maybe I would tell you that also by a bird, the majority of at least both pipes have to be cut. Tamalem ha zayis, that's what it says in that in pasuk, zayis, which zayis is an exclusionary terminology, this, to say that no, it's limited, this teaching, that Oif learns out from Behema that you have to have Shechita, but not that you have to have both pipes, you only have to cut one pipe. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says different interpretation. says, "Be'ezu Torah shav se behema lo evil behema." What halacha are we actually comparing an animal to a bird and a bird to an animal? So he says, "Lo emalach." It's coming to tell you, "Ma'oif hechsheru min atzaber." Just like the validity of a bird is from its neck, because that's the halacha of Malika. We know regarding karbanis that they would chop off the head of the bird from the back of the neck by the nape. So that's why, because we don't know the source. And this is actually that Tana that we said brings it from this pasuk. That's how we know an animal, its validity is also going to be from its throat by its slaughtering. But on that as this Tana, wait a second. But if we're learning a behemah from oif regarding the placement of where the slaughtering is, so we should say, just like we know from the bird, which is malika, that it's from the back of the neck, of kama mul oif, maybe shechita should also be the back of the neck and not the front, as we always say, in the throat. And that says the Tana, Tam Alem, and that's what the pasuk teaches when it talks about malika by a bird. It says umalak es roisha mimul orpav lo yavdu, that he does malika on the back of the neck, but he doesn't separate it. But what it tells us in the singular terminology, Malik es Roishai, is telling us, Roishai shal zemem mul arif, only him by the bird, are you going to do it from the back of the neck? Vein Roishai shal achem mul arif, but the head of a different one's not from the back of the neck, which is the animal that we learn now from the bird, although it's in that area, in that region, but it's not going to be from the back of the neck, it's actually going to be from the front, from the throat. Therefore, that's the fifth source of how we know that Shechita is from the throat. Now, on that as the Gemara, once we brought down this Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, the second interpretation that we just brought, Hai Zeis my Avalei. What does he do with the pasuk that says Zeis? Meaning the Tanakama said you need Zeis to limit what you're learning at Oif from Behema. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not learning at Oif from Behema, rather you're actually learning at Behema from Oif. So what would you need to have an exclusionary terminology? You don't need it to limit Oif. Says the Gemara, Ilav Zeis Havamina. If we didn't have the word Zeis over there, I would have said, Ma'if besimen echad, yeah, you're learning a behemah from oif. So you would say, just like a bird, all you have to do is cut one simen, because like it says by the chatas ha'if, it says below yavdil, not to separate it, because you're only cutting one pipe. Af behemah besimen echad, so I would say the shechita by a behemah is also one sign, because rachman ha'zais, that's what says zais, which is limiting to say, no, we're not comparing behemah to oif in all areas, only for one thing do you learn out behemah from oif, which again is that it's from the area of the throat, but not to say that you only have to cut one pipe, rather by behemah you have to cut both pipes. The Gemara continues, Tana Bar Kapara taught a braisa, again that same pasuk that we mentioned before, it says, Zeis Torah HaBehemah V'Oif. This is the law of the behemah, the animal, and the bird, but he's bringing it down for actually for the continuation of the pasuk, where it says, V'chol Nefesh Chaya HaRemeses B'mayim, and then the living creature that crawls in the water, which that refers to fish. Now, Hitla Kasav L'Oif Bein Behemah L'Dagim, so you've seen this pasuk, that the pasuk put the bird between the animal which comes before it and fish which comes after it. So therefore explains Bar Kapara, L'chayvay b'shnei simanim, to obligate the slaughtering of the bird by cutting both pipes like a behemoth, like an animal, and like we said, because we know that from Amun Alf that says, how do you know to include the head that's already chopped off? Obviously, if you're calling it hutas, is because you cut both pipes. And that says Bar Kapara, i'efshar. You can't say that, shekvar hokos l'dagim, because the pasuk already compares it by the second half of the pasuk, that it's compared to fish, which, as Gemara Shulter is going to explain, fish don't have any slaughtering at all. Now, on the other hand, lefaytcha b'le klomi yafsha, you also can't exempt the birds from not having any slaughtering like birds, like fish at all, shekva holokish lebehem, because the pasuk is comparing it by what comes before it, which is animals. So, okay, it's a how so? It's actually somewhere in the middle. Hechsher b'simen echad, its validity is with one simen, not like behemoths, which require two, and not like fish, which require none. Now, says the Gemara, Dagum delav b'nei shechita nein minolan. How do we know this idea that's being mentioned in this braisa, that fish don't have to be slaughtered? Ilem mishum l'chsev, if you think it's because of what it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Hatzoynu bakei shachalhem, the flock and the cattle, they'll slaughter for themselves. And imes kol digi hayom yoslem, and if they're going to gather all the fish of the sea. Now, one thing that's interesting is that when it's mentioning the animals, it says the terminology of slaughtering. When it mentions the fish, Basifa Balmasagalu, it sounds like just gather it because you don't have to do any slaughtering, you could just eat it as is. On that, the question is, but El Me'atev, if that's the case, then Gabi Slav, the Chsiv, by the incident of the Slav, which is a certain type of a quail, a bird, that the Jews complained Hashem gave them the Slav, it says, via Asvesa Slav, that they gathered the Slav. So here it also uses the terminology of gathering. Hachanami Dilab Beshchid, you can tell me here that the Slav, this type of bird, does not require slaughtering. But Va'amrit, but you just said before, L'paitre b'v'loi klomi yafsha, that you cannot say that a bird doesn't require any slaughtering at all. Shekvar hokish l'behemah, because it's equated and compared to an animal. So how could you say that fish don't require, because it says asifa, it also says the terminology of gathering by birds. Says the Gemara, no. Hasam like siva, asifa b'makom shchita d'achrina. By this law, it doesn't say the terminology of gathering in contrast to something that right next to it said slaughtering. So okay, it just says gathering, but of course you have to slaughter it. But hacha, by the fish, ksiva asifa, it says its terminology of gathering b'makom shchita d'achrina, near the slaughtering of an animal. And in that pasuk itself, it changes its terminology from slaughtering by the animals to gathering by the fish to tell you that specifically all you have to do is gather and you don't have to slaughter it. Now, continuing on this theme, Darish Oiver Gilila, a passerby from the Galil, he had the following exposition. And he said, Behema Shenivris Mani Abasha, an animal that's created from the hard earth, and that's why it has a very strong and healthy life force to it, but like the earth, which is strong, the way to make it valid for a shechita is by, you have to really get out the blood, you have to cut both pipes. Fish that are created from the water, which is something that's not strong at all, it moves very by a slight push. So there it's actually kosher without anything, you don't have to slaughter anything. Birds which are created from mud, which is a little bit of water, a little bit of hard earth, of dry land, is also somewhere in the middle. Its validity is by cutting one of the pipes. Now, Amar of Shmuel Kapatka, he says, Teda, you should know that birds were created from the rakak, from like mud. Shahari oifis yeshlin kaskesis beraglim kedagim, because you see that birds have scales on their legs like fish. So you see that on the like in the bottom half, it has similarities to fish which are on the water, because actually half of it is like land creature and half of it is like is aquatic creature, is like the fish, and that's why it's somewhere in the middle that has the requirement of slaughtering one pipe. Now, continuing on a similar type of exposition, the Gemara says that Va'id Shalu, which this refers to like a Gemara in Bukharis of Haman Alv, says that Kantrikin, the governor, asked of Rabbi Gamliel many questions. And this is one of the questions that he asked him, and it's mentioned over here only because it has that same idea of the discussion regarding the birds. He asked him the following contradiction in the Torah. Kasav Echadim, one pasuk says in Bereishis, V'yom Elikim, and Hashem said, Yishu tu hamayim sheretz nefesh chaya v'oif yoifiv. Let the crawl in the water living creatures that are alive and birds that fly. Alma mimai ivri. From this pasuk, you see that birds were created from the water. Because it's saying yishu tu hamayim, let the water have crawling from it living creatures, and it says over there the flying bird. Now, v'ksiba, there's another pasuk that says v'yitzer Hashem alikim min ha'adama. Hashem formed from the earth kol chayas asada, all the wild animals of the field. There's kol oifei shamayim, all the birds of the heaven. Alma ma'ar ivri. So you see that it's from the earth that the bird is created. Which one is it? From water or from earth? So Amalai, as we said before, he said to him, you're right, both are true. Min rakak nivru, it was created from the mud, which is a combination of water and earth. Now, ra tamidim mistakim zeh b'zeh. So his students, Rabbi Gamliel, they were looking in wonderment one at the other. So Amalai said to them, what kasha beinechem shedechisi es oivai bekash, what is it harsh in your eyes that I rejected my enemy with straw, meaning with some empty answer? He says, you're right, that's not really the answer. Min ha'mayim nivru, really birds were created from the water. V'lama havi'in ala adam, so then why, says Gamliel, so why is it written here in this pasuk that it's being brought to Adam? It was actually because of giving it names, was likrois lehen shem, was to give the creatures a name. In other words, he says, you have to read the pasuk as follows, not the way that this governor had asked him the question. You have to read it with a stop. The yitzer min ha'adama, it was formed from the earth, kol chayas asada, all the wild animals of the field, stop. Now, moreover, ves kol oif ha'shamayim, and all the birds of the heaven, continues the pasuk, were vayave ela adam, were brought to man. Why? Liris ma'yikroloi, to see what names he's going to give it. But it's not going back on the first part of the pasuk of the formation from the earth, that was just going to chayas asada. The oif ha'shamayim was going back going further on the second half of the pasuk, that they were also brought to man, to admiration, to give them names. Now, v'yesham, and those say that actually, b'loshan acher amalai sagman, that actually, no, the interpretation he gave to the governor was actually the second interpretation. And actually, and the first version was what he actually subsequently said to his students. And the reason why he held that was the primary one, that is actually the birds were created from mud, and actually he had answered the other answer to the governor, was Meshum Lechsiv, because the Pasuk says, that's going Al Vayitzar. That simple understanding is really going back on the beginning part of the pasuk, that when it's talking about the yitzer, that it's going on not just the chayas asada, but also like the pasuk continues, v'eskolayf hashamayim, the birds of the heaven. So you see that it was formed from the earth, but yet the other pasuk says from the water. Obviously, that it was a combination of earth and water, and it's created from the mud. Or another interpretation Rashi brings is that actually, the primary word here is not the word vayitzer, that it's going on vayitzer. Actually, the primary word is al, meaning it's from the first pasuk that we understand that the birds were created from the earth. Because in that pasuk itself, which talks about yishutzu hamayim, that it sounds like, you know, the bird is oifi oifi, if it's also coming from the water, but the pasuk continues over the embarrassed aleph pasuk chaf. It says, va'oifi oifi, what does it say over there? Al ha'aretz, on the earth. So even there it sounds like that when it says Allah Aretz, that the birds itself were created from the earth, and therefore this last pasuk also, when it says V'yitza min adama, that it's also going back on the word min adama, and that's because the word Al, that Al from the first pasuk, it sounds like Allah Aretz, but Rashi prefers that first interpretation. But either way, that's the reason why he said that it must be from the mud. That's what he told the students, although he had given the governor actually the other answer, and he said that no, it's not going back on the first half of the pasuk. They actually were created from the water, and here that's mentioned birds going on regarding that other region gave them names. Now, Amr Yehuda, Mishum Rav Yitzchak ben Penchas, he says, in contrast to what we mentioned before, he says, "Ein shechita l'oif min ha'tayr." There is no biblical obligation of slaughtering on birds min ha'tayr. Now, although we brought before a hekesh of Zeis HaTaira, which compares animals to the malika of the bird, which was to tell us that the slaughtering is from the throat, or additionally we had brought earlier that we said that it's Torah Shabbateh, which is Halachal Meshem Sinai, and that says Rashi that obviously that Rav Yitzchak ben Penchas doesn't hold of that tradition and doesn't hold of those interpretations. Rather, he holds it's a rabbinic law, and therefore a nevela of an oif is not going to be called a nevela unless if it either died by itself or it was killed by just a wound, not with something being done to the siman, to the pipes. But if, let's say, you do what's called nechira, just stabbing the pipes, or you tear it out, that's going to actually be valid because biblically it doesn't require shechita. You have to pull out the pipes, you have to let it die, you have to kill it in that way, but it doesn't require the laws of slaughtering as we know it regarding an animal. Shenema, how do we know this? Because it says the pasuk in Beyikra, where it says over there in Beyikra Yud Zayin Yud Gimel, it says a person that's going to capture an animal, and it says oif ashti yachal, or a bird that he's going to eat. So it says v'shafach, he'll spill the blood. So the pasuk there says, okay, so you got to cover that blood in earth. But the fact that it used the terminology of just spilling its blood, v'shafach, tells us b'shvich ba'al masag, it's just enough to spill the blood. You don't have to do it proper shechita. You just have to tear out the pipes. And that's because, like we're saying, that there's no biblical halacha of shechita for a bird. And that is the Gemara, but ihachi chayinami, then the same halacha should apply to wild animals too. Because in that pasuk, right before it says, asher yotze tzayit chaya, it also mentions wild animals. So wild animals should also not require slaughtering. And that says the Gemara, no, iskish lepsuli makdashim. As the Gemara is going to say later on in the sugya, the pasuk compares a deer and a hart to psulim ha'kdashim, to karbonis that became invalidated, just like there we know it has to be slaughtered, so to wild animals obviously has to be slaughtered too. But that is the Gemara, but if nami is kishla behemah, so but birds are also compared to animals. The chesiv is trace of behemah v'if, we brought the pasuk earlier, which compares oifis to behemahs, and we should say you can't do a halfway hekish, and therefore just like behemahs require shechita, so to oifis. So why are you saying that chai is not because compared to psulim ha'kdashim, this is compared to behemahs? Says the Gemara, yeah, but the pasuk says you spill the blood, which sounds like you don't need shechita, you could just spill the blood. And that says the Gemara, but umay chaz de shad yilei alayf. Where do you see fit to say that this interpretation of b'shafach is going back on only the element of the bird in that pasuk? Shad yechaya, put on the wild animal that's also mentioned there in that pasuk, that also doesn't need shechita. Says the Gemara, no, mistab b'mishum disolik mene. It's logical to say that it's going back only on the bird because that's the one that it ended off with. Because it says, oy oif ashayach b'shafach is damai. In contrast, chai was mentioned early in the pasuk, and therefore we're going to only say it's regarding bird that you could just spill the blood and doesn't require shechita. But chai, since it's considered, it's compared to psulim ha'kdashim, requires shechita min ha'tayr. Now the Gemara brings Simon the mnemonic for the question it's going to ask on this halacha. Nesnabel dam b'malika. Meisvei, we learned in the Mishnah later on the Pehem and Aleph, and says hashechit b'nesnabel b'yadib. Someone's slaughtering, and unwittingly he makes the animal into nevela. Doesn't do proper shechita, becomes a nevela, dead animal. Or hanoicher, or if he stabs the simonim, the neck. Or vama'akar, or if he deliberately uproots the pipes. So patim al-chasis. So then he's going to be exempt from covering the blood of that wild animal, because the pasuk says ashiyachol, which the halacha of the pasuk of covering the blood of the bird or the animal is only if it's something that could be eaten. If it's in the veil, he can't eat it, so it doesn't have the halacha of kisudam. Now that is the gemara biyamid in shechita leif from the Torah. If you say that biblically there's no obligation of slaughtering from the Torah, so all you have to do is you just have to stab it, tear it, whatever you do, just got to tear out the pipes. So nechiras izu shechitase. Then comes out regarding the bird, its stabbing is its slaughtering. So libayi kisui. So then it should require kisei adam in that situation, because it says in the pasuk that you have to cover the blood of a bird. Now, when is that? When you could eat it? When could you eat a bird? If you do nechir, if you do stabbing. So then why would you? Why does the Mishnah say when you do nechir you're exempt from covering it? Why? That is the shechita that you do by a bird. Says the Gemara, you're right. Mi savet ba'if. Did you think that this Mishnah is referring to a bird? Loi, no, it's bechai. It's only going, this Mishnah, on the wild animal, where when it refers to covering the blood of the wild animal, it's in the validity of a wild animal, which a wild animal requires shechita. And therefore, that's where if you do neich or ma'akr, it's going to be exempt from covering. But you're right, by a bird, even if you did nechira, of course, you would have to cover the blood, because that's the validation of a bird. But the Gemara continues asking, Tashma from the following braisa. The braisa says, Hasheichid, if someone slaughters something that its blood has to be covered when its blood is shed, and but b'tzarach l'dam, the person who's actually slaughtering the animal, he needs the blood for his work, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. So he wants to use the blood. But still, says the braisa, chayv l'chasas, even beyond his will, he has to cover the blood, and he can't use it for work anymore, because it has to be covered. Because he slaughtered, and when you slaughter an animal, it's fit to be eaten. The blood of the animal is fit to be eaten, has to be covered. So says the Bryce, Ketzer Dwayse, so what could he do to exempt himself from covering the blood so that he could use the blood for the work that he needs to use? Says the Bryce, don't do a valid shechita, so it won't be ashiachal. Either just pierce it or tear out the pipes. Now that is the Gemara, as we get on top of Chuf Chesem and Aleph, my lav ba'if, aren't we going on a case of a bird where that's something that its blood is fit to use for personal work? The you need its blood for the worm that grows in woolen clothing, as the pasuk says, kebeged achlo ash, that these moths that eat away at the garments. And that's what the Bryce is saying, that if you need the blood, when would you need the blood? You generally need the blood of a bird, which helps in this regarding these moths, that you stab it, and that'll exempt it from covering the blood. But if you're saying that there's no slaughtering for the bird, so then its stabbing is its slaughtering and should require being covered. So why does the Braisa say that that's a way of not having to cover the blood? So the Gemara here also, no, it's not talking about by a bird. It's talking about b'chaya. When do you need the blood of a wild animal? It's the kabayle, le dame, le lacha. You need it for dyeing the hide, a red color, which you get from a wild animal. That's what you need its blood for. You need it for that work. And therefore, again, the same answer is not a contradiction, because yes, a bird, and you would have to cover it because there's no biblical requirement according to this interpretation of shechita of the case. And these cases, it says, if you do nechir with it, it's not considered ashi achol, you can't eat, it's not considered valid slaughtering, it's going on a chaya and not on a knife.